Welcome to Category Leaders, where we go inside the minds of executives and innovators shaping the future of B2B growth. I'm Eli Grisserfidi, co-founder of Maya Digital, where we help B2B companies and executives build LinkedIn authority and drive life-changing opportunities. On this podcast, I sit down with founders, CEOs, and C-level leaders who are redefining their categories, the innovators turning executive presence into pipeline growth, competitive advantage, and market leadership. If you are a decision maker looking to scale your influence, attract top talent, and position yourself as the go-to voice in your industry, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello, today on Category Leaders, I'm joined by Gabe Lulo. He is the CEO of Alleyoop, an outsourced SDR agency, working with brands like ZoomInfo, SalesLoft, Adobe, and Amazon. Gabe has personally hired and managed over 1,500 SDRs and trained more than 8,000 salespeople, and his team makes more than a million outbound calls a year. He also hosts the Do Hard Things podcast. Gabe, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. By the way, I'm a huge fan of yours and what you do and what you stand for, so I appreciate the time. I do have to make one little correction in your intro. It's a million calls a month. So a lot of people don't believe me when I say that because it's so staggering of a number. I can't even believe it myself. Our team's incredible. But yeah, we're having a lot of fun doing a lot of cold calling. So yeah, excited to be here, man.
Awesome. Wow. A million a month. So we're going to have a lot to talk about and probably a lot of great insights to give. So I'm looking forward to it. But before we dive into, you know, more of the best practices and the nitty gritty, I'd love to hear more about where it all started for you and more of your origin story.
Yeah, I mean, I started selling at 11 years old. You know, I grew up in a blue collar town in upstate New York. It's by Niagara Falls. Everyone knows what Niagara Falls is. So I live close to that area. And in that market, it's hard to live. I mean, it's very cold. There are a lot of winters and it's not a tech savvy town. So the only way you made money when I grew up and I saw my aunts and my uncles, they were in restaurants, they were in factories, you know, they were building houses, falling off roofs, getting hurt on the job. So I thought you had to physically like lift heavy things and sweat and bleed to make money. And then when I was 11 years old, I was doing a fundraiser to raise money for a community event. And I sold more t-shirts than any kid in my entire school. And I'm like, oh my God, I can make money and talk for a living. This is like incredible. So I always kind of went down that path of, you know, being able to generate income when communicating. And so I got into sales at a very young age. Went out and became, you know, the top producer in my company at a young age, and just kind of started from there. So I don't have a proprietary widget. I don't have a patent. I don't have a sophisticated software or an algorithm. My talent is I know how to communicate, and I also know how to teach people how to communicate and teach other people how to teach people how to communicate. And we've been able to just build an army of sellers with, if you will, over the last 2.5 decades. So that's my story.
I love that. And you mentioned something that I think we're going to hear and come back to a lot in our conversation is the communication and the basis of it. Because I think whether it's sales or conversations on a relationship level or LinkedIn, it all comes back to communications. And it's so important, especially when you get to sales and having, you know, these transactions. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more about that. You started as an SDR and you worked your way up through the ranks from manager all the way to today as the CEO of Alleyoop. From your perspective, having trained, you know, thousands of salespeople, what separates the top 1% of SDRs from everyone else? Is it skill, mindset, or something entirely else?
A white hot burning desire. I mean, really, like, you know, the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. You know, he says thoughts are things, and you know, you have to have a passion to do what it is you want to do. And I know that may sound a little like cliche and a little, you know, macro, if you will, but at the end of the day, you ask me the question, what's that one X factor? And it's just an insane attitude of wanting to be successful. You know, people always like to say, if the why is there, the how is easy, right? Now you have to figure out the how. Right. You can't just be super excited and run around and you'll run into a wall and get hurt. Right. You have to be intelligent, sophisticated, know how to use all the tools, be very honed in on your skills and be highly talented and continually learn and be a coachable sponge. And all of those things are just as important. But if you don't have a true burning desire to be successful in your craft, then all the others are just a talented person sitting on a couch. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's what we're looking for is that X factor. I like to call it grit, right? You got to have grit. You got to have tenacity. You got to have that, desire to go through the hard things, ironically, to be successful. And yes, talking, it sounds easy, but that rejection piece that you get in sales, that's really where I see people lose it. I had, funny, years ago, I hired someone on a Monday and they didn't come back after lunch break. Like they couldn't last 3 hours, right? It's like, what happened? Well, they heard the word no and they couldn't come back from that. So it's just interesting. And that's where that mindset is so important.
Yeah, I also very much agree with you on about the passion part. I think it's important whether you're an employee or a business owner, and especially when we're talking about sales, just like you mentioned, being able to deal with that rejection, whether it's a cold call or just in general having a conversation and getting a no. We know it as business owners, and the more no's that we get than yeses, and that's part of it, and you have to be able to get through. So I think that's, a really important part to note, and especially to be able to endure it and sustain it long term. You really do got to enjoy what you're doing. Then once you're doing with all the tools and all the training, it will come off better as more effective, because that does shine through when you can see that someone really does have that passion and grit for what he's doing. Okay, so this brings us to something interesting, because right now probably the loudest conversation in B2B is that AI is going to replace SDRs. We see massive companies raising massive amounts of money, for these autonomous AI SDRs. We see, AI in general coming into our workflows, whether it's Apple and Android screening people and blocking it, or our mails being overflowed with AI sequences. So in a world where we're kind of drowning with AI and workflows and all of that around us, what do you actually see as a competitive advantage that we have left as human SDRs or humans in general?
I mean, what's next, right? So if they fix the AI SDR thing with AI, are they then going to start working on the AEs? And then are they going to start working on the VPs of sales? And then I'm going to be out of a job because we'll have AI CEOs, right? So at the end of the day, do you want to be sold by AI is the question you have to ask yourself. And the people that we're calling and reaching out to are not, we're not in the B2C business. Do I see AI completely shaking up outbound in a massive way? The answer is 100% yes. We don't email anymore, right? We do a million cold calls a month, but we don't send email on behalf of our brand. We do it for our clients, but we're doing it to warm up the conversation. And if we're still selling to a human, we still want a human involved. Not human doesn't use AI. I believe in AI in a big, big way, but it's a way to a support, enable, and make them more lethal than ever before. I'll give you an example. 10 years ago, we had to click to dial to make a call and leave physical voicemails on every single voicemail we called. And we called 100 people a day, and that was a lot because, we were like the biggest, most, crazy people that were making 100 dials a day, but it was manual. Before that, we had to copy numbers and put them into a dialer. Before that, we actually had to physically touch the phone keys to make phone calls. So technology has always evolved and make it better. Now, today, my reps can make 500 dials in a day with one click of a button. And on top of that, every voicemail is left autonomously. AI is telling us who to call, when to call, where to call, and how to sound when we're on the call. So AI is absolutely augmenting our reality in a way that is very helpful. And now we don't have to have 20 managers to train SDRs. We can have five because we have AI sparring partners that are coaching the reps. So, and we can turn the intensity up like Mike Tyson punch out back in the day or your favorite video game. And you're literally going head to head with a prospect who's an AI prospect to hone in your skills and get you to be better and more lethal. But I don't see it going away, especially in our space, because we're still having highly sophisticated, high contract value, targeted conversations with the C-suite of companies. And at that level, I don't see AI being a direct replacement at this moment in time, but it is absolutely a way to make us significantly more effective.
Okay, so it's making us more effective, and there are parts of the process to where it can help us get through, but still, especially as we're talking the C levels, the sophisticated economic buyers, there's still the need for that human relationship or communication, like you mentioned in the beginning.
Yeah, and there's a ton of regulation that most don't know about. People think, oh, we can just have AI phone calls happening in our country. The answer is we can't. AI right now is living in the email and the messaging space, but automation, look at LinkedIn. HeyReach just got kicked off of LinkedIn, right? AmpleMarket just got kicked off of LinkedIn. Apollo just got kicked off of LinkedIn. Seamless just got kicked off. These are multi-billion dollar brands, and they're getting kicked off of LinkedIn because of automation. Right. And then email, I have Fixer that checks my email. So someone's AI email goes to my email, and then my AI assistant filters that out and puts it and categorizes. I don't even see them. Right. So the reality is like, is sending more AI email going to be the way to do it? Yeah, you'll probably get some meetings for sure. There's companies doing it, but how much email has to be sent to get those meetings is the question people aren't asking. And how much filtering is going to happen also on the other side of the fence using AI to stop that. So there still has to be some way to penetrate. And a creative, authentic, human-centric approach has been for us the best way to cut through the noise.
Okay, so I think this leads us exactly to the next point that I wanted to bring us to, and you've been vocal about it, and also so you just posted about it, and I've posted about it, as well, how content and video ties into outbound and the importance of it in SDRs or anyone, right? We do it ourselves, if we're reaching out. You've mentioned that your SDRs send off custom one-off videos to their prospects every day. Could you walk us through that? How does content and video actually change the cold outreach dynamic?
Yeah, I love alliterations. My mom's an English teacher, so she's the reason why. The way I believe in two words that companies should go to market is really simple, and that's right now. It could be different in 5 years from now, but it's calls and content. Calls and content is the best thing right now you can do to go to market in an outbound way. For instance, right now, you and I are on a podcast. I minimally do two podcasts a week as a guest, and I have my own podcast where we drop two episodes a week. So I'm doing four podcasts a week as the CEO of this company. And the reality is you wouldn't know who I am if it wasn't for my content. We've never met before, right? You and I have never broken bread. We've never shook hands, but you're around the world and I'm around the world. And yet you feel like you know me and I feel like I know you. Why? Because of our content. So content creates trust, and trust is the number one thing in any sales conversation. So the reason why we're producing so much content at scale is because of that. I don't ever want to get on a call and have someone not recognize me or know who I am or feel like they know me. And that doesn't happen anymore because of content. And now you also have a sales team, and a lot of marketing teams, a lot of owners don't want their employees to create content because they feel like it's not going to be on brand or it's not going to be on message or they're going to do it wrong or they're going to embarrass you or they're going to get poached and they're going to get recruited out of your company and they're trying to handcuff them to their desk. I'm exactly the opposite. Okay. I'm incentivizing, paying, giving spiffs, giving brand new TVs away to people who gained 1,000 followers on their LinkedIn profile as an SDR. And the reason why is because this is what they don't understand. I have 25,000 followers on my personal page, but I don't care about that. All of my employees, and yes, we do count it and track it, have 1.5 million followers across all their personal pages. That voice will completely crush what my voice can do. And if I post something valuable to them, guess what they do? They like and reshare it. So my impressions are through the roof, not because I have 25,000 followers, but because I have a company that has 1.5 million. And that's really where I see this to go. And you have to let them go out and do it. And if they get poached, shame on you because you're not providing the right culture. And that's how we look at it. But I think content is so important. Now, just producing content is one great thing, but how do we take it and action it and execute it is in the DMs. And a lot of people are taking the email philosophy and bringing that into the DMs of LinkedIn. It is not the same. The way you have to approach your LinkedIn is like you would a phone call. Hey man, how you doing? I just am very conversational
Conversational.
in the DMs, using voice notes, using video notes, not because they're cool or fun or something that is easier to do, because no one else is doing it. And secondarily, it proves that you're actually a real person, because that in itself creates instant trust. Okay, I'm talking to a real person, because we're in this trust adverse right now feeling with AI, that we don't know what's real and what isn't real. And we don't know if that video is made up or that picture is made up. So we have to just kind of validate that I'm really talking to someone who's real, and therefore I will listen. And that's so important. And that's why I use those types of tools.
I love that. And I think it's so important also video in general, not only for outreach, but also in our in your content. You know, some people are saying that impressions, you know, aren't so high. That's secondary. You know, having the video out so that people can come to your, you know, if it's from a podcast that you were guesting on, or even just recording yourself so that people can also see you and hear you and see how you communicate and what you communicate and know that it's not, you know, just text or maybe some AI behind it. I think that's really important. And you mentioned a really great point, and anyone listening should really try it out of sending voice notes and sending video notes to the other end and just being conversational. It definitely is different. Most people are not doing it. That we can both say for sure. The majority are not. If they are having those conversations, they aren't doing it. So it's a really easy way to stand out. And it goes for an SDR just starting out all the way up to a senior CRO or CEO who's also on LinkedIn, creating content or not creating content. And you made a very good point. Like, there's the content creation, which is great, and that's one part of it. But there's also the commenting, there's also the conversations, you know, with the profile views, with the engagement. It all comes back to relationship building, communication that we mentioned before, trust, which you mentioned, which is so important. We say that all the time. We're talking about it with our clients is, you know, creating that credibility, the authority, and the trust on scale is what we're able to do through our LinkedIn presence. There's the personal profiles, the executives, the company pages, and the employees, which you also mentioned, which is so important. Anyone listening, go activate your employees today. Go let them be your amplifiers for their company, for your content, for their content. And I'm so with you, Gabe. They're not going to leave because they're now building a personal brand or more visible there. That's not the reason. Okay. Awesome. So we're if I've under if I'm putting it together so far of what an SDR looks like in 2026. So he's not just a dialer. He's really, you know, part content creator, part relationship builder, right? That's a very different hire to maybe what we traditionally have over the years, and really looking forward even more so. Maybe a personal brand or LinkedIn presence has more weight, you know, coming to these roles. So for the founders and the C-levels of CROs who are listening to us today and kind of thinking, should we be building this SDR team in-house or should we be outsourcing it? What should they be thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's really at the stage of your business. I always say if you have, less than 10 SDRs make sense for you financially right now, then you should outsource it. If you need to have 10 or more, then you should start thinking about bringing it in-house. Because a lot of people hire people right out of college, or their friend's son needs an internship and that's their first SDR, and it's not managed correctly. It's not the SDR that is the question. It's the way in which you're going to enable the SDR. So you're doing yourself and the SDR a disservice. The reason why there's so much churn in the SDR business, by the way, just to give you a number, 62% of new SDRs are not in that role within 12 months of when they start. So if
Wow.
you hire 10 SDRs, literally only 3 to 4 of them are going to be there in 12 months. And the reason why is because you're not supporting them correctly. Do they have a manager? Do they have a coach? Do they have best-in-class tools, technology, data? Do they have good reporting, clear commissions, KPIs? Are they by themselves making calls? You know how lonely that is and frustrating, and how much negativity you're going to get punched in the face. Imagine getting punched in the face 100 times a day by yourself, right? So having a culture around you of other people doing it at the same time is so important. You can't do that when you're at a team of 2 or 3 or 4. So outsource it, and then you get all this enablement that's layered in. And a lot of companies like ours give it you at a price point where it's almost the same amount of money of what it would cost you just to pay the rep. So you're getting management, data, tools, dialer, technology, culture, comp plan, all that's already, and they're on a sales floor with 100 other SDRs doing the same thing. Yes, it's different brands, but at the end of the day, they're on the court playing the game with other people, and they feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And that in itself is the value of outsourcing. Now, are you ZoomInfo and are you Adobe and are you Oracle? Yeah. Okay, bring it in-house. We still help those companies too in different ways, but at the end of the day, that's what you have to think about. So yeah, that was my response.
Love it. So as we look to wrap up, last question for anyone listening, whether they're early in their career or a founder who just knows that they need to get better at sales, what's one thing that they can start doing tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to do is get uncomfortable. Being comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? Go out and post content. If you're never doing it or didn't know how to do it or don't know how to do it, just follow you, follow me, and just start copying what we do, right? I think pictures are great, videos are great written posts are great, but don't just put it in Claude and copy and paste what everyone knows it's AI and no one reads it. Right? Don't put 32 emojis in your post. No one's going to care. They know it's AI. Don't put the long hyphen. Again, if people just know it's AI, they just don't read it. And that's, again, my issue with it. However, go out and be authentic. Put yourself out there. If you saw my first video on LinkedIn and scroll back, it was laughable, to be honest. And I kept it on there because I wanted to say that one day. And now it is pretty funny, but keep doing it and put yourself out there on LinkedIn. And things will just start coming to you. Leads will start coming to you. Conversations will start coming to you. People ask you to be on a podcast, and it just starts to happen, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's incredible, and I love it. I always say, start, get onto LinkedIn, and life-changing opportunities will come your way. People, it's not just, transactional or just on the sales side or lead generation. It's opportunity generation. There's a podcast, whatever it is, long-term. I don't know if it's a week, 6 months, or a year, but things will come through. Gabe, if people want to learn more about Alley-Oop or check out the Do Hard Things podcast, where should they go?
Ironically, go to LinkedIn, go to my profile, just put in Gabe Lulo. I'm the only one that I know of. So you'll be able to find me pretty quickly. My content is there, my posts are there, my podcast is there. You can DM me as well. I am at capacity right now with my connections. So follow my content and send me a connection request, and then I'll respond to you and we'll go from there. Or just go right to our website, alleyoop.io, and we can go from there as well.
Awesome. Gabe, this was a great conversation. I appreciate your time. We'll link everything in the show notes. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a great day, Gabe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Category Leaders. If you are a B2B founder, executive, or leader with a story worth sharing, I'd love to have you on the show. Head to categoryleaders.team-maia.com to apply. Found value in this episode? Here's how you can help. Share it, take a screenshot, post it on LinkedIn, or send it to someone who needs to hear this. And if you know a leader who should be featured, tag them. I'd love to connect. Please subscribe to Category Leaders so you don't miss the next conversation. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn or visit team-maia.com to learn more about what we do. Thanks for being here. See you on the next episode.